Well, good morning, everyone. We're taking a break from our series in Ruth, and Sean will be resuming that with us next week. So today we're doing a one-off on the theme of perseverance. Who perseveres wins. If you are finding the choice of candidates unbearable in the forthcoming presidential election, there is an alternative. Let me read you something. Faced with the prospect of voting for either Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton, Mary Ann Noland of Richmond, Virginia, chose instead to pass into the eternal love of God on Sunday. It was an obituary notice in the Richmond Times-Dispatch, quoted in the Times over the course of the last week. And I'll be returning to Mary Ann Noland a little later on in the service. But I was struck, you know, that the Apostle Paul said that it is better by far to depart and be with Christ. And the prospect of the American presidential elections, not to say our own referendum, may be driving you to much the same thought. But before we pass into the eternal love of God, whenever that might happen for us, God calls us to persevere. And that's the theme of our sermon this morning. I wonder if you recognize these guys. Yeah, who's that? Leicester City, yeah, absolutely. Just in case anybody doesn't know, Leicester City won the Premiership this season against all the odds. There were 5,000 to 1 outsiders. So if you put 10 quid on Leicester City at the start of the season, you'd be 50,000 quid better off now. And I suspect there are a lot of people with hindsight wishing they'd done just that. They were in danger of relegation the previous season, and yet somehow, against all the odds, they won the Premiership by 10 clear points. How did they do it? Well, it wasn't by having a team of star players. They're stars now. They weren't particularly stars a year ago. It wasn't through bringing in massive financial investment. It wasn't by bringing in an all-star, hugely successful manager. I don't think Ranieri was particularly successful before he came to Leicester. No, it was none of those things. When everyone expected them to implode and to lose their way, they simply kept going. They held it together as a team. They proved the old adage that the sum the whole is more than the sum of the parts. So they had no star players, but they were a star team in the way that they performed. And they literally kept their eye on the ball to the very last game of the season. They're a great example, I think, of what it means to persevere. They persevere to achieve their dream of winning the Premiership. And through perseverance, we achieve our goal of our salvation. Only one team can win the Premiership, but every Christian can persevere to the end and win their salvation. Leicester City fix their eyes on an earthly prize. We fix our eyes on the glory that is to be revealed. The title of the sermon this morning is a plagiarism of the SAS motto, "Who Dares Wins." And while daring certainly has its place in the Christian realm, in the spiritual realm, it's truer to say, I think, that whoever perseveres wins. In the context of our passage this morning, it was quite a short reading. The writer to the Hebrews has been rather severely taking them to task in the preceding verses over their lack of maturity and the dangers of falling away in their faith. And in verses 4 to 8 in particular of chapter 6, if you choose to read that at some point, he issues a hypothetical warning with no specific individuals in mind about losing your salvation. But then he goes on to say in verse 9, "Even though we speak like this, we are confident of better things in your case, things that accompany salvation." And that's what I want to focus on for us this morning. And so verse 10 says, "God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you've helped his people and continue to help them." I wonder if you've ever felt kind of neglected or overlooked or taken for granted. You know the old saying, "Today's favour is tomorrow's duty." Someone asks you to step into the breach to do a favour. You do so. They're very grateful. And the next thing you know, you've been doing it for 10 years. And nobody seems to notice anymore. It's not a not unusual experience in church life and sometimes in life outside the church as well. Does anybody really appreciate what I do? Do they see it? Do they notice? Would they care if I stopped? is being a committed Christian really worthwhile? And this verse answers that question. Other people may forget. Other people may not notice. Other people may take it for granted. But God never does. He is not unjust. He always remembers, always notices. He never forgets. You know, I trust that none of us deliberately withhold expressions of appreciation for those who are serving around us. But sometimes we just forget. We just take it for granted. And the great encouragement is God never does. I shared some of these thoughts at our church AGM on Thursday, and I felt it was appropriate to share them again with a wider audience. And over the year, last year, many of you have worked very hard in different areas of ministry, in this church and perhaps elsewhere, perhaps out in the community. And that offer of ongoing help to God's people is proof that you really love God. If you ask the question, how do I know that I love God? How do I really know? I can say the words, but how do I know that I really love God? Well, the proof of the pudding is in the eating. The proof of the fact that we really love God is shown in our service to other people, and particularly in persevering in that service to God's people primarily, and also to the wider world. This is not about trusting in our good works for our salvation. This is not saying that if we go through a bad patch and we struggle spiritually, that somehow we're going to lose our salvation. That's definitely not the case. Luther thought that the letter to James was teaching that very thing, and he called it a right straw-y epistle and didn't think it should be in the canon of Scripture. No, good works and persevering good works do not earn us our place in heaven. They are proof of the fact that we already have a place in heaven. Good works are a mark of our salvation. And when we persevere in those good works, that's one of the things that contributes to assurance and confidence in our faith. Writing to Timothy in one of his first pastoral epistles, Paul says this: those who have served well, speaking of deacons and elders, gain an excellent standing and great assurance in their faith in Christ Jesus. And that doesn't apply just to elders or deacons. That applies to anybody who is serving consistently and serving well within the body of Christ. They gain, I promise here, they gain great assurance in their faith in Christ Jesus. You know, we've been hearing about a toddler group this morning. And I trust that Rachel and Joe and others who have worked many years in toddler group, persevering, demonstrating their love for God through their service in toddler group, have great assurance in their faith. At the AGM, I mentioned well over 30 different ministries or regular activities that take place in the life of the church here. And many people serve in and through them to make ensure that they happen. And I just want to kind of put it out there for you this morning that, you know, do you want greater assurance in your faith? Well, it might simply be that if you're not already doing so, then to volunteer to serve in one of the activities or ministries in the church might just be a way that God would have you gain that assurance and confidence in your faith. There may be other things we would need to look at, but assurance of salvation, assurance and confidence in faith, and service are very closely linked together. So that was perseverance in the present. The writer goes on to talk about perseverance in the future. We want you to show this same diligence to the very end, so that what you hope for may be fully realized. Or in some versions it says, you can make your hope sure. Okay, we want each of you to show the same diligence to the very end to make your hope sure. That's the alternative reading. I was impressed by an illustration that Sean gave, I think, back in September. This is the tomb of the unknown soldier at the Arlington Cemetery in the USA, in Washington. And it's guarded 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 52 weeks of the year. It's never left unguarded. And when a new soldier comes on to guard the memorial, he asks what his orders are, and the answer is always orders unchanged. And Sean was giving that illustration some months ago to say that our orders as a church fundamentally remain unchanged. We are to persevere in them. These guys have to persevere 365 days a year in their guarding of the war memorial. we are called to persevere 365 days of the year in the ministry that God has called us to. Our orders, as it were, are unchanged. Perseverance, then, is one of those qualities that's much underestimated in the church, in the Christian life, and yet it's one which is absolutely vital. In the New Testament letters, there are around 19 references to perseverance, as well as the one that's in the parable of the sower, as it's recorded in Luke's gospel. You remember the story of the parable of the sower, and it's the person who perseveres who produces the crop. The seed sown on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. Okay? The seed sown on the other soils doesn't produce a crop. It's by persevering in the good soil that a crop is produced. In the New Testament letters, there are around 19 references to perseverance. I'm going to run through them extremely quickly, and you perhaps won't be able to read them, a little bit small, but it does make a point. We know that suffering produces perseverance and perseverance character. Love always perseveres. The things that mark an apostle are done among you with great perseverance. Amongst God's churches, we boast about your perseverance and faith. May the Lord direct your heart into Christ's perseverance. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. Very similar thought to Hebrews 6. Moses persevered because he saw him who is invisible. Run with perseverance the race marked out for you. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them. That says watch your life and doctrine closely. I don't think we're called to watch our doctor closely. We're supposed to watch our doctrine closely. The testing of your faith produces perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work. Blessed is the person who perseveres under trial. We consider blessed those who have persevered. Add to your faith perseverance. I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. You have persevered and endured hardships. And then finally, Jesus speaking again, I know your perseverance, speaking to the church in Thyatira. So you kind of get the message when you just run through them like that, very quickly, skimming over the whole, many of the New Testament letters. Perseverance really matters. So how do we do it? How do we persevere? I think verse 12 gives us the clue. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. The writer later in Hebrews goes on to give examples in chapter 11 of characters who persevered in their faith, and it's an inspiring chapter. If you've not read it, I suggest you do so. If you have read it before, I suggest you do so again. Read it regularly because it certainly lifts my spirit and challenges me as I look at these great heroes of faith. But we don't have to simply look at the Bible. We can also look at those around us. So we have examples who inspire us today. Last week we heard from Anne, who's been a missionary in India for 48 years and is still fresh and vibrant in her faith. People like Val Barnes and Muriel Ennals, who are now enjoying the riches of heaven. People like Doris Stone, who in extreme old age are still walking with God. We have examples around us of people who have persevered in their faith. And I'm deeply challenged by those who demonstrate that faith and patience to the very end. Friends, there's no grounds for us for complacency. I know it's easy when we've been Christians, particularly for a long time, it's easy to, I think, to begin to say, well, let's just take it a little bit easier. You've been a Christian a long time. You've been working hard. You know, you've been serving God for many decades now, many years now. Let's just kind of take it a little bit easier. Let's take the foot off the pedal a bit. Let's just kind of relax. And we start to kind of drift towards mediocrity in our spiritual experience. Yeah. The issue is not how busy we are. Can I make that clear? Okay. Our capacities inevitably diminish with age. The issue is, are we still walking with a vibrant faith? Or have we become mentally and spiritually lazy? And it's walking with that vibrant faith which characterizes the life of the persevering Christian. I love Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31. It says, those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. And somebody's once commented that in the Christian life, we start by soaring on eagles like wings. And then a little bit later, we run, and then we end up by walking. And it's an interesting, it's interesting the way it goes. You'd expect it to go walking, running, soaring, but actually it goes soaring, running, walking. And there's a kind of sense of realism in that verse about our spiritual experience and about what it means to persevere in our relationship with God. But whether we're soaring this morning, whether we're walking, whether we're running, it's God who renews our strength and enables us to do so. When people get married, they make vows, and they say words like this to each other. I take you to be my wedded husband or wife, to have and to hold from this day forward, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish until we are parted by death. And this is my solemn vow. And Carl and Hannah will be saying those words to each other, or very similar words, on Wednesday afternoon. It's a commitment to persevering in a relationship. And when we become disciples of Christ, it's like a marriage. Spiritually, we are married to Christ. And we are promising to persevere in that relationship with Christ for the rest of our lives. Now, we may choose to turn away from Christ in the same way that we can walk away from a human marriage, because we're flawed human beings and we make mistakes. But Christ never chooses to walk away from us. He never walks away from the relationship. And whereas in human marriage, death parts us, in spiritual marriage, death unites us. In our marriage to Christ, death doesn't separate us from our beloved. Rather, it brings us to full and final relationship. It brings us fully and finally together in the glory that's to be revealed. And I trust that that's what Mary Ann Nolan, in that amusing obituary at the start of this, I read at the start of the service, is experiencing right now. And it's certainly what Val Barnes and Muriel Ennals and many other friends that we know are experiencing at this very moment. Jesus said that in heaven we will neither marry nor be given in marriage, and we can no longer die. Marriage is a temporary state. But we will be like angels. We will be God's children, children of the resurrection. My friends, that's a tremendous hope. What a future to look forward to. Our light and momentary troubles are preparing for us an eternal weight of glory that far outweighs them all. So let's persevere to win the prize to which God has called us heavenward in Christ Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, we want to thank you so much that we are married to you today, that we are in Christ today. We want to thank you so much that though we may walk away from you, you never walk away from us. And we thank you that though death may separate us in human marriage, death unites us in our spiritual marriage, and we are forever with the Lord. And so, Father, we pray today, I pray today that whatever light and momentary troubles we're experiencing, that we would have that sense today of them being far outweighed by the glory that is yet to be revealed. Father, we thank you so much for all that you've called us to do. We thank you for the ministry of this church. I thank you for all those who work so hard, week in, week out, to bring your help to God's people, to bring your help to the wider community. And I pray that each person would have great assurance in their faith and in their salvation as they seek to serve you week by week, day by day, year by year. Father, we thank you so much for all that you've called us to. In Jesus' name, amen.